The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
The mainstream media going all in on that Russian rebellion, giving the perfect excuse to ignore those damning Hunter Biden WhatsApp messages that appear to implicate President Biden's role in the family corruption scheme. The Sunday shows on the network spending 39 plus minutes on the Wagner Group and no coverage at all of the Hunter messages.
Look, I know that the State Department and the White House would like everybody to move the Hunter Biden story off of the front page and start talking about all the drama in Russia over the weekend. We're not going to do that on Sunday Morning Futures. The biggest story of the week was that WhatsApp message 100%. From Hunter Biden. And he is basically doing a shakedown that you would expect in a Francis Ford Coppola Godfather movie. Pay up or you're going to face retaliation. And that's what we're focused on this morning.
Another convenient distraction to take the heat off of the Hunter Biden scandal, the Biden crime family, all of this criminal activity. And now we have the big story. I turned on CNN last night here in the hotel, and you have all of these people so excited about the Putin regime collapsing. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this good Monday morning. I guess it's good morning in Oklahoma, but we're on the East Coast, so it's actually after the noon hour now. We're broadcasting to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina. I guess right outside of Chapel Hill. We got to see the university campus last night when we went out to eat. In any event, we're in a hotel room, so you have another very uninteresting background to look at today. This is the best that we could do. Somebody actually recognized the background and the hotel chain from the show that we had in Roanoke on Friday. In any event, we're happy that you can join us. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. Just go to trumpetdaily.com every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States, or noon here on the East Coast. You can also get to our live stream at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble and search for the Trumpet Daily. So yesterday we had a very successful event in Raleigh, a personal appearance campaign. I was able to give a lecture or speak for about an hour and a half. I think we had it was a little over 200 people, I believe. And I think 79 non-members registered for the event. I'm not sure how many actually followed through and showed up, but I was able to talk to a couple dozen of them, at least, as I made my way around the room. A good event, people that were excited about the message that this church has for the world, really, and emphasized the importance of America under attack, and how that's a message, as my father recently wrote, that needs to go out to the largest audience possible. So following that, now we have the Celtic Throne performance here in Raleigh again tonight. It's at 7:30. Last I checked, I think there were a little over 70 tickets left or available for this showing. It is a smaller theater, so it's probably going to be an electric atmosphere tonight. But if you are anywhere near Raleigh, North Carolina, just go to CelticThrone.com and secure your seats for what will be a spectacular performance tonight. I'm sure of it. So that's CelticThrone.com. Also, later on in the show, since we missed the opportunity to do this Friday, we had so much content to get through, but we'll definitely try to squeeze in the feedback coming from Roanoke. We have about 2 minutes of really amazing feedback. All of it is amazing. Every single show that we grab some sound bites, it just kind of blows us away how the audience responds to a Celtic Throne performance. So we'll play that for you later in the show. And we also skipped over the current news or the news of the week on Friday. That's usually the Friday segment. So if we have time today, we'll play that segment later on as well. First, I'll just, again, like Maria said there, I think we got to focus on this scandalous activity going on in the White House. I mean, the Biden family. And, you know, one point, I'll get to Russia in just a second, but one point to make here is that they're pulling in tens of millions of dollars from Ukraine, from Romania, from communist China. And it's happening during, it's happening while Joe Biden is vice president. I mean, it continued on as those messages that have since been revealed from 2017, it continued on even beyond his vice presidency. But Obama had to know. He had to know. You mean the way Obama weaponized the DOJ and the FBI, and here his own vice president has this operation with these 20 shell companies all over the world, and Hunter Biden's the bag man collecting all of, and even threatening Chinese businessmen with connections to the CCP. And you mean to tell me Obama didn't know about that? Obama's the kingpin. Obama's the mafia boss. I mean, he's right at the very top. He's been shielding in all of this. I mean, the few that will stay on this, like Maria Bartiromo, good for her. But like I was saying last week, they generally stop just short of the dear leader. So last week, it was the submarine story that imploded. And now this week, it's the coup attempt in Russia. The coup attempt that was in motion, and then it just suddenly stopped. This is from Richard Palmer's morning brief. It says here, the leader of Russia's Wagner Group militia, Yevgeny Prigozhin, declared that his troops had come under fire on Friday, and then he began fighting back. So he pushed and he took over this. His troops came under fire in Russia. So he pushed, he takes us over this town in Russia, and then he's on his way to Moscow. And then, like Richard brings out in his brief, there were rumors that Putin had fled to St. Petersburg. I mean, a big story. Okay, I'll give you that. But then it suddenly stopped, which makes you wonder, well, what happened? What generally happens, by the way, to those that would challenge Vladimir Putin? Well, they end up dead. This guy's in exile, evidently, and maybe he will end up dead. We'll see. As Richard said, he better stay away from windows. But still, some strange developments here that, as you saw in that opening montage, here the networks, they can't help but to report on some of these scandalous activities in the Biden crime family because, I mean, it's going to be interesting to watch because to the extent that they were part of the problem, covering up the crimes, now that the crimes are being made known, they have to sort of save face and report on some of it and then give the impression that, well, you see, we're just reporting the news. That's what we've always done. We'll see. Anyway, Richard says here, we don't have any sources from the KGB or the modern FSB, but we do have one unique source we can use for unique insight, Bible prophecy. He refers to my father's booklet, what it says in Ezekiel 38 about the Prince of Rosh. And then Richard says, a lot of people say this is the beginning of the end for Putin. UK must prepare for sudden collapse of Russia, declared the Times this morning. And then Richard writes, if you know anything about Russian history, you know that pretty much every strong leader faces coups and rebellions. Generally, they respond by becoming far more brutal and despotic. Bible prophecy points us to expect this outcome. Putin's not going anywhere. And the Bible describes him as a determined and brutal leader. Putin's not going anywhere. And really, you start, as far as this Ukraine offensive, the spring offensive, even CNN, as you'll hear here in this next clip, is reporting that it didn't go so well for Ukraine, not as well as they thought that it would. This is Glenn Greenwald from his podcast, clip 13.
Now, let's just stop here and note, if CNN is telling you that this counteroffensive is a failure by all metrics, and even Zelensky is admitting that progress has been, quote, slower than desired, imagine the truth of what a debacle this actually is.
So there's some truth about what's happening in Ukraine. CNN coming around to admit, yeah, it's not going as well for Zelensky as he had hoped. And when the dust settles on this Russian coup attempt, well, we'll see what the truth of it is. I think Jeremiah Jacques has a trumpet brief going for later today. So maybe he'll give us some additional research or study on what actually happened over the weekend. But as I say, I mean, here it is, another perfect distraction away from the crime, the treason that's happening in the White House. And that's been happening for years and years and years. I mean, this goes back into the vice presidency days and probably before that even. You think about what we discussed on Friday's show, the fact that Hunter, you go back to last week, they got the plea deal on Tuesday. Hunter's lawyer says, okay, everything's settled, we can move on. And then 2 days later, Hunter shows up at the state dinner at the White House with Merrick Garland, not with him, but he's in the same room with Merrick Garland, the head of the DOJ. They're just all having a big party. Yeah, and Hunter's going around hugging everybody. He's looking nice in his tuxedo and his false teeth. It's pretty amazing, this scene. Two minutes it goes on. And then the announcer, distinguished guest. He's a distinguished guest, don't you know? Yes, he is now. They thought they were just going to move on. But there were others who thought otherwise. They time all of this right when these revelations are to come out. But I think there's some Republicans and even rhinos, it would appear, are going to have a hard time slowing down impeachment proceedings for somebody. Maybe Merrick Garland's first on the list. Just caught in an outright lie. I mean, either Merrick Garland is lying or all of these whistleblowers, together with the six witnesses that Shapley has, that says, no, Weiss, the prosecutor, said, yeah, my hands were, I was handcuffed. I couldn't prosecute Hunter. I was told from the higher-ups. And Garland says, no, that never happened. I didn't block anything. So somebody's lying. In any event, you look at what's been revealed. As Jonathan Turley, we touched on some of this on Friday, his piece from last week, all the crimes that Hunter's ridiculous plea deal missed. The crimes that were missed. I mean, here is a serial criminal who filmed himself. He videotaped himself. He videotaped himself engaging in the interstate violations involving prostitution rings and illegal drugs. Turley reminds us of that in his piece. Then there's the tax evasions. No felony. That went on for years and years and years. Never mind the slap on the wrist with the plea deal. He was taking in millions from foreign nationals, and then he didn't declare it on his taxes. And he got away with it, evidently, at least this far. He got away with tax evasion. $1 million here, $1 million there. I'm not going to tell Uncle Sam about it. Here are these same people. They go on and on and on, talking about how that, well, the rich have to pay their fair share. The Biden family has never paid their fair share. They're rich and they evade their tax bill for sure. At least Hunter does. So he evades taxes for years and years and years. Then you have the FARA violations. Hunter and company, the family, lobbying for foreign nations. And the law is very straightforward. If you're lobbying in DC or anywhere in the States and you're lobbying for a foreign nation, You have to disclose that to the federal government, to the DOJ. Hunter never did that. I mean, this is the violation that they got Paul Manafort on. And his goes back to 2005 to 2014. He was supposedly lobbying for Ukraine of all places. Hunter was doing it for Ukraine, Romania, China, and who knows who else. So Paul Manafort does it, and he does it even before Donald Trump comes down the escalator. And so they get him, they nab him. Donald Trump later gave him a pardon, but that's beside the point. If you take down Manafort for it, and then you give Hunter a complete pass, this is the two-tiered standard of justice that one reporter brought up to Merrick Garland on Friday, and Garland, I mean, he got a little hot under the collar. No, we do not have a two-tiered standard. We go by the facts, he said. Think about all of the bribes and the revelations from that WhatsApp post that the Biden's basically carrying out a shakedown. The bribes coming from nations abroad, and then the Biden crime family here at home telling the people over in China, now you make sure you pay up. That was part of the deal. These revelations that came out late last week, this is from Fox News. It says a bank account linked to President Biden's son. This just gets to the timing. We know about the WhatsApp post. The bank account linked to President Biden's son, Hunter Biden, received more than $5 million in August 2017, shortly after his threatening messages in which he said he was sitting here with his father to a Chinese associate, revealed this week by an IRS whistleblower. So he threatens the Chinese businessman. And then, because of the work that the House committee is putting forward, the timing shows that he did get the money just a short time later. This would be headline news, wall-to-wall coverage in any different time in American history, but not now that the Department of Justice has been weaponized by the dear leader, Barack Obama. It says here on August 4, 2017, well, let me skip ahead. It says the two transactions, there was a $100,000 transaction and a $5 million transaction, all coming into the Biden accounts. No big deal, I guess. It says here the two transactions totaling $5.1 million came within 10 days of messages uncovered Thursday by the House Ways and Means Committee. In the messages, Hunter Biden blasted business partner Henry Zhao for not fulfilling his commitment and said his father was with him. My father's right here. He's right here in this room. You better pay up. Or you know what? We know how to hold some kind of a grudge. We'll make sure you pay for it. Fox News says, in addition, the 2020 Senate report revealed that beginning on August 14, 2017, Hunter Biden initiated a string of 20 wire transactions from Owasco to Lion Hall Group, a consulting firm linked to President Biden's brother, James Biden, and his wife, Sarah. The transactions continued through August 3rd, 2018, and totaled $1.4 million. I mean, they're just spreading money all across the family. Jim Biden, Joe Biden, you got to give the cut to the big guy, right? Hunter Biden says here, well, that was the end of that Fox News report. But instead of getting charged for any of those crimes, the bribery scheme, the tax evasion, the cross-state prostitution rings, illegal narcotics, and so on, instead of doing time for any of that, he gets the sweetheart plea deal last Tuesday. I think that might have been a tipping point for some in the House. You mean to say they're going to go after Donald Trump for moving boxes while the Biden family gets away with these things? Finally, at least you have Kevin McCarthy talking about impeachment proceedings for Merrick Garland. I would imagine those on the Biden side would be quite happy if Merrick Garland could take a fall for all this. But is Merrick Garland just the beginning? How does the Biden family survive this? I mean, they say the cover-up is worse than the crime. The DOJ and the FBI covering up these crimes? We'll get to Bill Barr and his part a little bit later. Well, let's just touch on it now, actually. In 2018, he comes along. He's infuriated by the way that investigators are treating Donald Trump and divining all these motives. Remember that? So he joins the Trump team in 2018. And then in 2019, he covers up all of these crimes. That's another thing from these IRS whistleblowers. They tell us that the DOJ got the Hunter laptop in November of 2019. And by the early part of 2020, they knew it was authentic. They knew it was Hunter's. So this is coming into the election year for the presidency. 2020, Bill Barr was there the whole time. All of these complaints that the whistleblowers are making, what happened in 2020, what happened in 2019, who was the attorney general at the time? Set aside Merrick Garland for a moment. How about some kind of criminal proceedings for Bill Barr? Bill Barr is the modern day Benedict Arnold. That's the truth of it. No wonder he didn't want to investigate election fraud after the election in November of 2020. He was part of the election fraud before November of 2020. That's the truth. It's unbelievable. The people that either have just suspended the Constitution, actually trashed it in their obsession to attack all things Trump. And then the number of people over these past 6 or 7 years that have betrayed Donald Trump, that have stabbed him in the back, that have turned into traitors. Listen to the, as I said, the so-called Russian coup. I'm sure there were things that happened Friday and Saturday, but the mystery is, why did it stop suddenly? Hopefully we'll find out some more facts. It is a good story. It's a big story, I mean. But another convenient distraction. That said, it's becoming harder and harder for the regime media to cover up these many crimes in the Biden crime family. Listen to this from over the weekend. This is clip 11.
The legal issues surrounding the president's son, Hunter, the latest of which is an accusation by two credible IRS whistleblowers claiming misconduct by the Department of Justice and the FBI during the investigation of Hunter Biden. According to transcripts released by the Republican-led House and Ways and Means Committee, one of those whistleblowers, who, by the way, was questioned both by Democrats and Republicans on that committee, former senior IRS agent Gary Shapley, he alleged that Hunter Biden received preferential treatment from the DOJ. Shapley asserts that the Trump-appointed U.S. attorney leading the probe was blocked in his efforts to charge Hunter Biden with more serious crimes than the tax-related misdemeanors Biden agreed to plead guilty to earlier this week.
The lead IRS agent investigating Hunter Biden telling Congress they uncovered evidence the president's son pressured a potential Chinese business partner to move ahead with the deal by invoking his father. Allegedly writing in a WhatsApp message, "I am sitting here with my father, and we would like to understand why the commitment made has not been fulfilled."
From the tax years of 2014 to 2019, more than $17 million came to Hunter Biden and his associates. $8.3 million directly went to Hunter Biden, and they came from countries such as China, Ukraine, Romania. Some of the items and gifts that he received was, for example, an $80,000 diamond, over $142,000 Porsche. It is absolutely unconscionable.
As a Republican-led House committee releases testimony from two IRS whistleblowers, alleging the evidence supported felony tax evasion charges, more serious than the deal cut by the president's son. "I am alleging with evidence that the Justice Department provided preferential treatment, slow-walked the investigation, did nothing to avoid obvious conflicts of interest." The allegations went further, that the Trump-appointed U.S. Attorney David Weiss was blocked from bringing charges in Washington, D.C., California, and sought special counsel status, a claim denied by the Attorney General.
Those are three reports there from ABC, CBS, NBC, and then sandwiched in the middle was, I think he was one of the House members on the committee that was on Maria Bartiromo's show, talking about the gifts that Hunter was taking in, all the millions that he received. It is becoming harder and harder for the regime media to ignore these many crimes. I'm sure they'll come up with more distractions along the way, because they have to try to cover their own tracks too. Sundance, he speculates that those three reports you just saw there may suggest that Barack Obama's pulling the plug on the Bidens. It says, following the release of explosive testimony and documentary evidence delivered by IRS whistleblowers to the House Ways and Means Committee, the media have been given the green light to begin the Biden removal process. He doesn't actually mention Barack Obama by name, but they've been given the green light. By who? Well, we'll see if that's a true statement or not. But Sundance is usually pretty discerning when it comes to why the media rush to this story or why they come back over here and cover this. This is from Miranda Devine. She's at the New York Post. As you know, the New York Post, I think it was October 14th, 2020, when they broke the story about the Hunter laptop. And we all know what happened then. There was a massive, the cover-up continued. The regime media was part of it. To that point, Bill Barr was orchestrating the cover-up on the Hunter laptop. Then, they couldn't keep it undercover. So the New York Post reveals it. Rudy Giuliani had a copy of the laptop, and the story was then squashed, at least until after, well after, the presidential election. I mean, this election was rigged top to bottom. This is Miranda Devine writing about the latest revelations. She says, Shapley provides further evidence to add to what we previously have reported, that Joe Biden lied repeatedly to the American people when he said he knew nothing about his son's overseas business dealings. In fact, as we have reported, Joe Biden met with Hunter's foreign business partners on at least a dozen occasions. It says here, while we don't know if Hunter was telling the truth to Zhao, that his father was sitting with him in the room. So that's in the WhatsApp text. It says, we do know from photographs on the laptop that Hunter was at his father's mansion in Greenville, Delaware, on the Sunday that he wrote the WhatsApp, as were various of Joe's grandchildren. So we know they were in the same dwelling place when he posted that WhatsApp message to the Chinese businessman. Listen, this is from Friday. Listen to Gary Shapley. Again, he's the whistleblower. You talk about a guy that needs to stay away from windows, by the way. Gary Shapley, this is his attorney, on with Martha McCallum on Fox News Friday, clip 6.
It's important to note that this WhatsApp message did not come from the laptop or any nefarious source. Gary Shapley testified that they did a search warrant. They got a hold of Hunter Biden's iCloud account, and they did a search warrant to the Apple Cloud, where they accessed Hunter Biden's WhatsApp messages, iMessages, and other information. And so this is credible. This comes from a credible source, and it's information that's very relevant to the dealings with the Chinese energy company and the income that Hunter Biden received. The agents wanted to follow up on this, and the prosecutors told them not to, because, oh, well, maybe Hunter Biden was puffing or something like that. So the agent said, well, let's get the GPS location of the two, of the father and the son, and let's see if they're actually in the same room at that time. And the prosecutor said, we're not doing that. So closed another door on the investigation to make what is relevant to this case. And this happened over and over and over again. And that's what Gary Shapley wanted to come forward and make sure everyone could see, and this could see the light of day.
So they had the WhatsApp message, and then they said, well, we don't know if he's lying or just kind of blowing smoke, so let's get the GPS technology going, you know, the kind that they used to get the January 6th protesters. Let's use that technology to see if Hunter and Joe were in the same room. And the higher up said, no, not going to do it. They shut it down. I couldn't believe Martha McCallum's response to this, by the way, what that guy just said there. She says, boy, this is fascinating. Fascinating? This is criminality at the highest levels of government. This is outrageous. He needs to, somebody at the DOJ, lots of people, in fact, need to be in prison. Treason, treason, treason. Listen again. This is the attorney for Shapley on Friday, clip 5.
There's a discrepancy here. You just heard Merrick Garland. He said he was always in control, David Weiss. You hear David Weiss say to your client, I'm not, actually.
Some of the records that have been just released yesterday, Exhibit 10 to Gary Shapley's transcript, it's a copy of the email that Gary Shapley, where he took contemporaneous notes of that meeting with U.S. Attorney Weiss. And it wasn't just Gary Shapley that was at that. That was a senior leadership meeting at the U.S. Attorney's office. And Gary Shapley wrote up to his superiors, which included that that same special agent in charge that was at the meeting, and he described it. And he said, Weiss stated that he is not the deciding person on whether charges are filed. And he described the whole events that Weiss laid out at that meeting, which was his red letter meeting, where Weiss said he tried to go to the D.C. U.S. Attorney's office, and they wouldn't approve it, and he was trying to go charge it elsewhere in California. And he was trying to seek special counsel authority, and that got denied. And so this was a shocker to the agents who were present. Special Agent Shapley sent this up the chain to his command, including to Darrell Walden, who attended it, the special agent in charge, and asked Darrell Walden, did I get this right? And Darrell Walden says, yes, you did. You know, if he had gotten it wrong, Darrell Walden would have said, no, I never heard that before. So there is credibility, is corroboration of what Special Agent Shapley is saying.
So just to summarize what you heard there, Weiss, he's the prosecutor. He's the one investigating Hunter. And of course, you had Shapley and others over at the IRS. Weiss is the one in Delaware investigating Hunter. You had the IRS agents that were part of this meeting where Weiss basically said, I can't go forward with, prosecuting Hunter in D.C. or California because they won't let me. And Shapley's there saying or thinking, I can't believe this. I mean, McGarland's out there saying he has full or total control to prosecute wherever if the evidence supports it. So in order to memorialize it, Shapley then, with the other six in the meeting, they have this email exchange between all six of them where they're just making sure that they got it right. Did Weiss actually say that he can't go forward and prosecute Hunter? And then the others kind of chime in and say, yeah, that's what we heard. So where Weiss is now, given what one of the two, the group of six or Garland is lying, in the middle is Weiss. It's a question of what Weiss said. And Weiss, of course, he was there. So now, assuming he's the next one to come forward and to testify under oath to the House Ways and Means Committee, I mean, he's either going to have to say the truth, what I said, or he's going to have to plead the fifth. Or if he lies, I mean, he's basically got these six witnesses saying, no, I heard you say it. It's really pushing Merrick Garland into a corner. This is from Miranda Devine. It says, Attorney General Merrick Garland denies that Weiss ever asked for special counsel status and has refused to respond to Shapley's allegations of wrongdoing in his department. Well, he did kind of respond to that on Friday. Listen to Attorney General Garland Friday, clip one.
I certainly understand that some have chosen to attack the integrity of the Justice Department and its components and its employees by claiming that we do not treat like cases alike. This constitutes an attack on an institution that is essential to American democracy and essential to the safety of the American people. Nothing could be further from the truth. You've all heard me say many times that we make our cases based on the facts and the law. These are not just words. These are what we live by.
Right. These are what we live by. We're just looking for the facts. We go wherever the facts take us. Notice before that, he said, this constitutes an attack on the institution. You cannot question the institution. This is the almighty DOJ we're talking about here. That man is lying. He's lying. He's not even a very good liar. He may be the first fall guy for this Biden crime family, for Joe Obama. We'll see if it's just the first of many dominoes. I mean, I don't want to get anyone's hopes up because these people have been getting away with crimes for years and years. But you look on the other side, Donald Trump with his campaigning over the weekend, his poll numbers continue to rise. Him out there confidently saying, we're going after these villains. They're not going to win. Listen again. Well, this is Miranda Devine. She says he testified under oath. This is Merrick Garland. He testified under oath to Congress in April that Weiss had, quote, full authority for the case. But it's clear that the IRS whistleblowers, it's clear from the IRS whistleblowers that was not the case. And Shapley's lined up there's two whistleblowers and there's quite a few others that witnessed what Weiss said in that meeting. Listen again to Merrick Garland from Friday, clip four.
Mr. Weiss had, in fact, more authority than a special counsel would have. He has complete authority, as I said, to bring a case anywhere he wants in his discretion.
To bring a case anywhere he wants in his discretion. That's not what happened. And of course, if you just have common sense, and you look at the plea deal which, according to Hunter's attorney, ended everything, it would be crazy to think that the DOJ did not give Hunter a pass on the prostitution, on the narcotics, on the FARA violations, on the bribery schemes, on the pay-to-play. I mean, the list goes on and on. Listen again to Garland from Friday, number three.
One of the allegations of one of the IRS supervisors apparently made involved the fact that Mr. Weiss reportedly wanted to have powers you've conferred on special counsels. Was that request ever made? And if so, why did you reject it?
It was not. The only person with authority to make somebody a special counsel or refuse to make somebody a special counsel is the Attorney General. Mr. Weiss never made that request to me.
Well, there's others that say that he did. This is perhaps the most revealing comment that he made, the one where he left himself a little bit of wiggle room. He hedged a bit. This is number two.
As I said at the outset, Mr. Weiss, who was appointed by President Trump as the U.S. Attorney in Delaware and assigned this matter during the previous administration, would be permitted to continue his investigation and to make a decision to prosecute any way in which he wanted to and in any district in which he wanted to. Mr. Weiss has since sent a letter to the House Judiciary Committee confirming that he had that authority. I don't know how it would be possible for anybody to block him from bringing a prosecution, given that he has this authority.
And he was never told no.
I'd say he was given complete authority to make all decisions on his own.
Notice there the reporter says he was never told no, like you can't go prosecute over in this direction. And then Garland, he had an opportunity to say no. No, he was never told no. He just says, I can't see. I mean, he was given complete authority. I can't see how anyone would block him. He knows. He knows the walls are closing in, to use the phrase they always use on Trump. He knows. He knows he's caught. He's caught in a bald-faced lie right there in the front of everybody, the whole world. What are we to make of this? It's going to be an interesting next few weeks as more and more of these revelations come out. Jim Comer on Friday, he talked about how they've got more bank records. How much have they raked in over the years in total? How much has not been declared to the IRS? You know, Hunter hasn't declared at all. It brings up a pretty good question. Has Joe Biden declared all of his income brought in from overseas over the years? The rich need to pay their fair share, right? They're rich. They have gotten quite wealthy. When asked about these latest revelations, this is the White House spokesperson, KJP. Listen to what she said on, I think it's Friday, clip 12.
As it relates to anything related to Hunter, I'm just not going to respond to it from here.
You know that the heat is on when they say, hey, you got to go talk to the White House attorneys about that one. Or, hey, you got to go talk to the DOJ about that one. Well, Garland is the DOJ, and Garland's up there lying. So the reporters, they want some answers. A few good reporters do anyway. They want some answers, and there's your answer. I just can't get into it. Sorry, just can't talk about it. You're going to have to bring up a different topic. I'll be happy to answer it if it's in my three-ring binder. This is from Peter Schweizer. He was on with, I think this is on Maria yesterday. Listen to this. This is an important point to make amid all of these revelations as well. Clip 8.
I would just say one other thing, Maria, as it relates to that sort of shakedown phone call with Henry Zhao that we alluded to. Henry Zhao in 2015 had already sent $5 million to the Bidens. He was the head of a harvest investment firm. And what's interesting is in the correspondence there, Hunter Biden again talks to Zhao in the context of this is a deal that's important to my family involving his father. Let's also keep in mind we fixate on the criminal element of this. We also have to focus on the espionage element of this. Henry Zhao paid paid $5 million to Hunter Biden from an account that was part of a company that he co-owned with the family of the Minister of State Security of China, who's in charge of the entire spy apparatus. And you see that in every deal that Hunter Biden did in China, these individuals that are sending him money have ties to Chinese intelligence.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. A partner of the Minister of State Security in China, the businessman that paid Hunter the $5 million, and that, if I'm understanding him correctly, did it back in 2015, and then what we're talking about with the WhatsApp message again in 2017. What was the CCP receiving in return for all these payments? They're not just going to give $5 million out for nothing. What? And by the way, Hunter Biden was addicted to crack cocaine at the time. And he's the one sending out all these messages, doing the shakedowns and so on. What services were these people providing, these Chinese businesses, with links to the CCP? What was the CCP willing to pay millions for? Well, that's hopefully what we'll get to the bottom of with Jim Comer's committee. We'll see. There's a lot of weakness there in the Republican Party, always has been. But the walls are definitely closing in. And you wonder if the plea deal just tipped the scales a little bit. It was a tipping point for some that, because you, as I've said so many times before, if it's Democrats, I mean, they're already talking about impeaching Trump if he wins in 2024. For what? Doesn't matter. They'll get him for something. With Republicans, I mean, it's always so measured. Well, now let's wait and see. We don't want Kevin McCarthy, classic McCarthy. We don't want to get into impeachment talk just yet. Look at all of they impeached Donald Trump, the Democrats, for a phone call, one phone call. There were no $5 million payments. There was no quid pro quo. It was just, hey, you should look into the crime in the Biden family. Well, lo and behold, look at what we're discovering now. All of these crimes right there in that family. Let's see if the Republicans develop a backbone here in the coming weeks as more and more revelations are, never mind the distractions, there'll be a new one every single day, probably, certainly every few days, and the media will run over to the shiny object, and some of it's going to be, you know, some malicious intent as they try to deceive. Others just follow the pack because that's all that they know to do. In any event, these are, I mean, espionage. Okay, there's the pay to play, there's the crimes, but then you're also possibly revealing secrets, U.S. secrets, to the Chinese, to the Minister of State Security in China, the CCP. Schweitzer also, well, I guess I can skip that, but he also revealed on the program that Hunter Biden had purchased a secret cell phone, a global phone that could be used to call anyone in the world. This was while he was vice president. Of course. I mean, they had to conceal their communications to run the operation, the family business. How much work as vice president did he actually put in? Even now, like I said, the state dinner last week, he's there. You see him traveling off for the weekend. Hunter's right behind. Hunter's like his top assistant. For what? For America's interests or for the Biden interests? Michael Goodwin at the New York Post. He says, this is the title, Donald Trump's 2020 election loss was an inside job. He's saying the election was stolen. And you know how he, I didn't include it in my notes. You know how he prefaces this article? He basically says, you know, the election was rigged, but not with the ballots, not with the machines. There was no funny business going on at 3 a.m. in Detroit. Forget about the, you know, putting boards up over the windows where they were counting ballots and kicking out the poll watchers. None of that matters. No, the mules, that there was no cheating there. Basically, and this is what angers me. Basically, the point Goodwin makes is that the election was stolen by the DOJ and the FBI, but everything else was perfect. In other words, the ones at the top of the DOJ would be willing to cheat, but none of the other Democrat machines in Philadelphia, Atlanta, Maricopa County, Detroit, there's no cheaters in that crowd. they're all clean as a whistle, I suppose. It's just insane to reason that way. But all of that said, let me calm down. All of that said, if you just focus on the DOJ alone, it was rigged. Okay, let's play along. Yeah, it was rigged. They got the laptop in November of 2019. They knew a few months later, yeah, it's legit. In fact, I think I had it in one of the clips. Was it in that one? Do you remember if where they forget it. I'm running out of time. They knew. They checked the numbers on the computers. Forgive my ignorance. They checked the background to make sure it was Hunter's. They knew within weeks, within a few months. They knew all through 2020. Here's Goodwin. Let me see if I can get through part of this. The cheating that likely denied Trump a second term was very close to home. In fact, it was an inside job. There were numerous bombshells in the congressional testimony of two IRS whistleblowers, but the most significant is that members of Trump's Department of Justice helped to tip the 2020 election to his opponent by slow walking the investigation into Hunter Biden. All of these events happening in 2020 when Bill Barr, of course, Bill Barr was the attorney general. He was the chief law enforcement officer in the land. As I say, he's our modern day Benedict Arnold. I've got more material. I'll just have to wait and give it to you when I'm back at our headquarters studio in Edmond for tomorrow's broadcast. We'll take a short break and then we'll come back with some feedback from Roanoke, Virginia, and then also our current news segment from Friday that we didn't get to. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily. The Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course is a distance learning program that makes the Bible clear and understandable. The Correspondence Course enables enrollees to learn what the Bible itself says about subjects that affect you and the world you live in. This fascinating Bible course highlights and proves what the Bible says about morality, war, religion, terrorism, and other current events, focusing on the root causes of this world's many problems facing man, as well as their solutions. The Bible and this course also focuses on the reason mankind was created in the first place, the way to happiness, accomplishment, and fulfillment, as well as the truth behind important doctrinal questions, such as what happens after we die, the nature of God, the resurrection, the millennium, and other critical subjects. Enroll today in the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
China and Cuba are planning a joint military training base on Cuba's northern coast, The Wall Street Journal reported on June 20th. This base would station Chinese troops and weaponry just 100 miles from Florida. The report comes 10 days after the U.S. government declassified intelligence revealing China has an operational spy base in Cuba that was significantly upgraded in 2019. The facility may allow Chinese intelligence operatives to listen in on electronic communications throughout the southeastern U.S. The new joint military training base could allow China to extend these espionage activities. As America weakens, China is taking more blatant action against the U.S., and the U.S. is too weak to stop it. To understand where China's belligerence against the United States is leading, please read Preparing to Storm America's Castle. Indian manufacturing companies are actively starting to enter Russia's market to fill the void left by Western nations, a spokesman for Russia's Chamber of Commerce and Industry in India said on June 15th. India is supporting Russia in key ways despite the West's attempts to economically isolate Russia as punishment for its war on Ukraine. Trade between Russia and India reached a record $35 billion in the last 12 months, mostly due to the unprecedented quantities of Russian crude oil flowing into India. With Indian manufacturers now hurrying to enter the Russian marketplace, total trade will increase even more. India's economic support for Russia has prophetic significance. Passages in the books of Daniel, Jeremiah, and Revelation describe a mighty multinational Asian force that will form in the years ahead. Ezekiel 38 shows that Russia will lead this massive alliance, which will also include India. To understand more about India's role in this key end-time prophecy, read Russia and China in Prophecy. The U.S. government has paid $4.2 trillion in COVID-19 relief aid so far. A recent Associated Press analysis revealed that about 10% of that sum has been stolen or wasted. The numbers are sure to grow as investigators dig deeper into thousands of potential schemes. So far, U.S. Inspector General Michael Horowitz and others have discovered $280 billion in stolen funding and $123 billion in wasted funding. The U.S. government has charged more than 2,230 defendants with pandemic-related fraud, meaning that this scandal may represent the greatest grift in U.S. history. The U.S. government's reaction to the COVID-19 pandemic created many more problems than it solved. 2 Kings 14 says that end-time Israel, primarily the nations of America and Britain, would suffer a time of bitter affliction. Few things have affected these nations as bitterly as their government's response to the coronavirus. To learn more about the true significance of the coronavirus crisis, read A Weapon to Transform America. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
There's your current news segment from Friday. Now we're going to segue right into the Celtic Throne feedback from Roanoke. Don't forget, tonight is another exciting performance in Raleigh, North Carolina. If my count is right, only 62 tickets left for that theater. You can get to tickets by going to CelticThrone.com. Just go to CelticThrone.com and secure your seats for this evening. And hopefully, if you're there, Sam and I will be able to see you. All right, we'll go to Roanoke. This is from Thursday last week. Feedback from after the show.
Awesome. Yes. It was awesome. One of the most beautiful things I have ever seen, and I mean that. I ain't never
seen it like that. Never. And I was like, whoa. It was wild.
This is my 10-year-old daughter, and she cried watching them play the bass.
It's amazing. I mean, it was the best show I think I've ever seen in my life.
I can't describe it. It was just so amazing. The cast members all had a cohesiveness to them, you know, that they talked about being family, and that was very evident.
I loved it.
It was mesmerizing. We would definitely see it again. 100%. It was great.
Unbelievable. Loved every minute of it. Yeah, the choreographing and the dancing, it's fabulous.
No, I'm a teacher, and seeing kids this age do this is just amazing. Like, I always see them in the academic mindset, and to see them doing something like this is just fantastic. Like, they are up there talking to each other, enjoying their time up there, genuinely having a great time, and it doesn't seem faked at all. It's awesome. I loved it.
I loved it. It was beyond my expectations, and I've seen it before.
It was great. I loved it. So I'm going to come back and see it with my kids, actually. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go to either North Carolina or the Tennessee show.
Okay. It was wonderful. Even better than I expected. It was amazing. The talent, and of course all the work they put in. It's not just talent, it's all that work. It's amazing. My hands hurt from clapping.
It was awesome, and I'm glad Mom found the Facebook ad.
Oh, it was phenomenal. Phenomenal. Better than Riverdance. We saw Riverdance back in March in Greensboro. They're so much better. I mean, the kids are just, I mean, their ages are just, I mean, you can't do anything better than this. And their smiles, it's just there.
Raleigh tonight, I think Louisville on Thursday, and then Nashville on Sunday. That's all we have time for on today's show. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you tomorrow.